All right, for today, let's start by opening our Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 32. So give ear, O heavens, and let me speak, and let the earth hear the words of my mouth. Let my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew. Now I'm in verse 3. It said, for I proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God, the rock, his work is perfect. For all his ways are just, a God of faithfulness and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. It said, they have acted corruptly toward him. They are not his children because of their defect, but are a perverse and crooked generation. Do you thus repay the Lord, O foolish and unwise people? Is not he your father who has bought you? He has made you and established you. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of all generations. Ask your father and he will inform you, your elders, and they will tell you. When the Most High gave the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of man, he set the boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the sons of Israel. Please let me read that again. It's quite important we notice this. Moses was explaining a number of things. He said, when the Most High gave the nations their inheritance, not the nation of Israel now, the nations around, the nations before them, he said, when he separated the sons of man, he set the boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the sons of Israel. Now let's go on. He said, why did he do this? He said, for the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the allotment of his inheritance. He found him in a desert place and in the howling waste of a wilderness. He encircled him. He cared for him. He guarded him as a pupil of his eye, like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that hovers over its young. He spread his wings and caught them. He carried them on his pinions. He said, the Lord alone guided him, and there was no foreign God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, and he ate the produce of the field. He made him suck the honey from the rock and oil from the flinty rock, curds of cows and milk of the flock, with fat of lambs and rams, the breed of Bashan and goats, with the finest of the wheat, and of the blood of grapes you drank wine. Now, I'll just read a bit of the following portions, and then I'll go on to what I want to say. Verse 15 says, but Jeshurun, another word for Jacob, grew fat and kicked. You are grown fat, thick and sleek. Then he forsook God who made him, and scorned the rock of his salvation. He made him jealous with strange gods. With abominations, they provoked him to anger. Notice verse 16 again. He made him jealous with strange gods. With abominations, they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to demons who were not God, to gods whom they had not known. I like this expression next. New gods who came lately, whom your fathers did not dread. You neglected the rock who begot you and forgot the God who gave you birth. Now, I don't want to read everything because I think I've made the point in these ones I have read. Now, there are a number of things we said in the past. I will not bother to go over them, mostly because I can't remember a lot of them. But I'll just continue speaking. I'm sure I'll tie it to the things I've said before. Now, I want to explain something again, which I know I've said before. And then I will lay my emphasis on the latter part of what I'm going to say again. You remember we said that God is the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. That he is not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I've explained again and again why he chose those expressions to explain the personality of God. I said that God is known by the names of the people that have walked with him. That God does not have a proper name per se, but you describe him according to his manifestations in the lives of people. And because these manifestations in the life of these three people were markedly different, God wanted to highlight some things, so he introduced himself as the same God, but emphasized it differently in different lives. He said, I'm the God of Abraham. I'm also the God of Isaac. I'm also the God of Jacob. It's deliberate that he did not say, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He separated them. The reason, like I said, is because there is something about the life of Abraham that we explain God, which is different from what we explain God in the life of Isaac. and it's very different from what will explain God in the life of Jacob. I was preaching in church on, that was Wednesday. I think I should try and get the message. I was blessed by that message. You know, if at the end of the day, I said the prayer everybody should pray is that God be known by my name. And there was something somebody, I referred to it in that message. You should get the tape. I referred to this, something I heard long ago from BBC. You know, they were talking about Africans. That is the traditions of Africans versus Europeans. They said that the Europeans, their children bear their names. But Africans, the parents bear the name of the children. And I said, it's very funny, until the man explained that when an African wants to call a man, he'll tell you, Baba this. You know what I'm going to say? He wants to call, if a child's name is David, they call the mother Mama David. You understand that the mother begins to bear the name of the offspring rather than the offspring bearing the name of the parent. Sounds very funny, right? Except that that's exactly what God does. You know, I realized it. That's exactly what God does also. God, we say, which God? He said, the God of Abraham. He begins to bear the name of his own offspring. Are you following what I'm trying to say? He said, the God of Isaac. He's bearing the name of his offspring. So I explained in that message that your goal in life should be that God will bear your name. That is, which God is that? He said, the God of Kingsley. You understand my point? And that's very practical. That is, the person knows what he's saying when he's saying that there's something that God did that was tangible in the life of that person. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, those are the points we have made. That what I want to bring, explain particularly about that today is the life of Jacob. Do you understand my point? Now, I won't be very dogmatic about this statement I'm about to make. You can have your own opinion. But it appears to me like the emphasis in the life of Jacob is what I want to talk about today. Now, whether it was the emphasis or not, I'm still going to talk about it and it's still correct. Now, what you can disagree with is whether that was the emphasis of God in the life of Jacob. Now, you'll notice that the emphasis in the life of Abraham was faith. You follow my point? That is that for somebody to hang his whole life, his whole expectation, his dreams for the future on the promise of God. That is the emphasis in the life of Abraham. So it's called the father of faith a lot of times. When Paul was going to explain the meaning of the word faith, he sat down in Romans chapter 4 on the life of Abraham. Justification by faith is taught from the life of Abraham first before you add any other person's life to it. Now, if you go to the life of Isaac, it appears to me that the emphasis, you know, remember what I said, is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac. All right, so I'm talking about the description in the life of Isaac that's emphatic, that is talking about God's dealings with him. In my opinion, is that fear that he had for God. That's why Jacob would tell Laban that, were you not that the God of my father Abraham, who was the God of my father, who was the fear of Isaac. Are you getting my point? That is, he was known for the way in which he walked in fear before God. So when he was going to describe him to Laban, he called him the fear of Isaac. I believe very strongly that even Laban had heard about the way Isaac walked before God. That is, he knew that he constantly walked in a manner as if he did not want to offend somebody. That he commended his conscience all the time to this God. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Meanwhile, in the life of Abraham, what they will remember is that this man departed from everywhere. Why? He said, because God said he gave him a promise. Are you following what I'm trying to say? Now, but I'm talking about the emphasis in the life of Jacob. It appears to me, that's why we read from Deuteronomy chapter 32, that the emphasis of God was in the removing of strange gods from the life of Jacob. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And I'm going to deal on that today. Now, notice what we said earlier. Go back to that, Deuteronomy chapter 32. Moses was explaining some things about it. He explains that when God led him about, when God was guiding him, he said, verse 12, he said, the Lord alone guided him, and there was no strange God with him. Do you notice that emphasis? But when you now go down, that's why I said I'll read a few from beyond verse 14. He now began to explain the problem that was with Jacob, that is the Israelites now. He said the problem was that they began to sacrifice to new gods, recent development gods, the gods that their fathers did not know. Are you following what I'm trying to say? Now, if you read from 15 to 18, I won't go over that. We won't read everything, but I just point a few things out. In verse 15, it tells us that he rebelled, he scorned the rock of his salvation. How did he do that? Verse 16, he made him jealous with strange gods. All right? He said, the sacrifice in verse 17 to demons who were not God, to gods that they did not know before, who came lately. You understand what I'm saying? That these are recent developments. Men suddenly wake up and start saying that there are other ways to reach God apart from the standard he has set in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what I'm explaining here is this. He said these are recent developments. It was not so at the beginning. Are you getting what I'm going to say? And that when we're talking about God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, when it came to the life of Jacob, the God of Jacob, I believe that the application to the people of God, to Christians, is to remove themselves from strange gods. The reason being that when God started with Jacob, verse 12 again, he said, the Lord alone guided him, and there was no strange or foreign God with him. Are you noticing my emphasis? That is, I want us to get this point into our hearts very strongly, and because that's what I want to settle on. That life of Jacob, what God was doing in the life of Jacob. I'm not going to tell all the stories about the life of Jacob. We know all the stories, but I want to bring out some important things. Now, remember what we were saying earlier, that is in previous times, we have explained about this walking in expectation of the glory of God. And there's something I refer to again and again, Isaiah chapter 40. He said that, we're talking about the manifestation of God's glory. He said, clear down the mountains, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness, make smooth in the desert the highway for our God. He said, let every valley be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low. He said, then, I'm jumping a few lines, the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together. What we have explained, which I want to emphasize again, like Peter will say, I know you know it already, but I will not neglect to bring it to remembrance. And Kenneth Higgins said, where there is no repetition, the people are not established. Now, so I want to repeat these things that we have said here again and again. Where, that before there is a manifestation of God's glory, or let me say, the thing that hinders the manifestation of the glory of God is the lack of preparation for its coming. That God's glory really doesn't come. The manifestation of his promise, the manifestation of God's promises on this earth, of God's glory, of that goodness, that blessedness, is not dependent upon people's desires. You know, I keep on saying that. It's not because you have desired it. I even explained that desire and expectation are two different things. Expectations is what you have deduced by information that you have, whereas desire is just what it is, desire. You want something. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, glory does not come because of desire. Glory comes primarily because the road has been made ready. That is, the glory of God is like water that is dammed. The moment you break the dam, do you follow my point? It will flow. You don't have to get a pump for it at that particular point in time. What you need to do is to remove the hindrance. So as I was prophesying here and explaining to us, that if you want the glory of God, you have to prepare for it. Do you follow what I'm going to say? That is, what you do is to clear the hills, lift up the valleys, make an express route for the Lord. He said, once you do that, there is an automaticity to the manifestation of the glory of God. That is, once people are ready for God, God always comes. It is not just because they cried out to him or called out to him alone. It's that they have made themselves ready. Now, we said that Jacob's sufferings were not absolutely necessary for the manifestation of the promises of God. But just that in the life of Jacob, it was necessary that Jacob went through those things to bring him to the place where he could become the person that God wanted him to be. Remember that the promise, the blessings of God, the glory of God, they are weighty. They are things of weight that somebody who does not have the capacity to carry it will die under its weight. Do you follow my point? So what God does is that he prepares a man, he prepares a woman. Like Paul said in Acts chapter 20, right? He said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to first build you up and then automatically deliver to you your own inheritance amongst them that are sanctified. Remember what we said then, that Jacob, what God was doing was bringing him to the point where he could now deliver to him his own inheritance. Now, Jacob, there was something that was in his life, which was what made God do this thing to him. That is, in the depths of his heart, he loved God. In the depth of his heart, he wanted God. Do you understand my point? And that's something you have to understand about God and his relationship with human beings. God is God, and he's able to do far beyond what we can imagine. Now, what I mean, I'm not talking about providing money or providing things that we need. I mean, when he even comes to working on people's character, that is, God looks at Abraham and at Jacob. This man wants me. Fine, that's what I want. He might be a crook, it doesn't matter. He might be crafty, men may not like him. is no longer relevant. What mattered to God was that this guy had the heart that was panting after God. It doesn't mean that God will excuse all his errors or his failings. It just means that God will be patient with him in correcting him in everything that he's doing. Do you understand my point? That is, God will go the extra mile. When he will make a mistake, God will put events on his way to punish him so as to turn him back to God. David will say it like this. He said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. He said, but now I obey your word. That is, when God saw that he was disobeying God's word, God sent affliction to him. I've said this again and again to the men, to people who hold very fast to the popular teachings of faith and make it look like God does not ever cause problems. Believe me, he does. In fact, it's one of the things he knows how to do properly, that is to cause problems in the lives of his children. I'm telling you the truth. And as one of the things Christians will have to understand is that if you have a problem and you resist the devil, it doesn't go away. You cast him out, he doesn't get cast out. You sprinkle the blood of Jesus upon him in every corner of your house, he does not budge. Then look at that devil very well. He has a serious reason for being around, and his presence was authenticated by God. That is, God said, you go and stay there and don't shift. Are you getting my point? I've heard people say that God was telling Paul, rebuke the thorn. I have given you the authority to rebuke the thorn in your flesh. I don't know how we read all kinds of strange things into things that are very clear. Are you getting my point? The man said, I went to God 3 times and I besought the Lord. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. That is, this thorn in the flesh is producing a weakness, and we are not going to worry about the weakness. We are going to concern ourselves with the perfection of God's power even while you are weak. Are you getting my point? And the man explained something very simply, that the reason why this was given to me was because in my own person, the abundance of revelations that I have is enough to make me proud. Are you getting what I'm going to say? You have to understand that thing. The man said it clearly. With this amount of revelation, pride is hard to fight. And God said, don't worry, I'll tackle pride. Are you getting what I want to say? Because pride goes before a fall. Are you following my point? If somebody tells that God does not ever cause trouble, that it's only the devil that causes trouble, ask him the version of the Bible that he reads. Are you getting my point? You know, sometimes people, this is just by the way, people just carry on popular teachings. They don't think about it. This is a popular thing. I remember one sister saying something once. He said, doesn't care what everybody says, as long as far as it's concerned, if Ken Hagin says it like this, it is correct. In my mind, you're not well. You follow what I'm going to say? All right. It's like somebody telling me that, look, anything bank is, whenever I say it like this, it is correct. Don't think I'll be flattered. I'll think something's wrong with you. You understand my point? No, honestly. I've seen a preacher say once that there's a particular man of God, he does not think anymore. Once the man says it, it is correct. I'm not flattered. If you tell me that, you understand my point? I am not flattered. Because, you see, when I change my mind next year, I will leave you behind. are you getting the point I'm going to make? All right, so I'm just explaining something here. That God, when he loves somebody, he goes the extra mile, you understand, to make sure that that person is conformed to the image of Christ. Let me just use that expression now because of our own dispensation. In the life of Jacob, God said, listen, you love me. I know that. But you may be a terrible person. You and I will spend time and will bring you to the place where I want you to be. Are you getting my point? I said something that you may say he defrauded Esau. That was Esau's problem. That, you understand my point? It was a serious negotiation. Esau decided to sell. Nobody forced him to sell. But inside his heart, there was something about Jacob that did not deal openly. There was something that Jacob that loved to deal in darkness. And God said, fine, I will send you to the house of Laban for you to be taught not to deal like that. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Now, he was in the house of Laban. You know what happened to him in the house of Laban. Now, I'm explaining a point here. That is, in all of these things, what God was doing was bringing Jacob to a particular point. Do you follow my point? Now, let me not get too carried away by talking about Jacob alone. I need to talk about Christians, all right? But what I want to bring out, like I said earlier, is that it appears to me like the emphasis in the life of Jacob was the issue of dissociating him away from other gods. Now, Jacob may not have gone down bowing to idols, but then he trusted his own person, all right, to deliver him in the time of trouble. I don't know whether you get my point. He trusted his own skill when he wanted inheritance, for example, he was scheming till his brother would be ready to sell under pressure. That's what I'm persuaded about. That is why he quickly offered him. The guy said, I'm very hungry. He said, sell me your birthright. The guy had been hunting that birthright for a long time. That is what God was doing to him, in my opinion. Like I told you, this is what I the way I see it, that the emphasis is that if you are going to get your inheritance as a believer, one thing God has to cut away, all right, is that dependence upon other gods. That's what I'm trying to say. Remember what we said, what we have been talking about, like, and I said that very seriously last week, that, you see, God has a plan. God has a purpose. God is bringing his church to a particular place. Now, let me refer to something which we read earlier. It just came back to my mind now. Let me quickly refer to it. Where were we when we referred to that? Deuteronomy chapter 32. There's something I wanted to note here. In fact, I intended to start with this. Verse, I think that should be 8, yes. Verse 8. It said, when the Most High gave the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of man, he set the boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the sons of Israel. Notice this. What he was saying is this. When God was dividing the land, maybe after the flood, when God was sending different nations to different places, you have to understand something. God rules in the affairs of man. It is not an accident that Hausa men live where they do, and that the Yoruba men are in Western Nigeria, and Igbos are in Eastern Nigeria, and the Jos and Shekiris and Rubos are in the South zone. Is divine order. Now, get what I'm trying to say. The tribe of people that moved to the Middle East, it was divinely ordered. When people began to separate after the building of the tower, it was divinely ordered where each person went. And that's what Moses was saying here, that when God separated the sons of men, he set the boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the sons of Israel. You have to get this point, that even before Jacob was born, even before Jacob had his 12 sons, even before the nation began to multiply, God already set the boundaries that they would take ahead of time. He knew the exact landmass that they needed. He knew the kind of areas he wanted different tribes to be. Because you have to understand this, even Israel was not the end. Israel was the means to an end. They are at the beginning. In the garden, he had prophesied. God had made a promise. He said that there is a seed of the woman that will come and bruise the head of Satan. Are you getting my point? And this woman, this nation, Israel, was being prepared so that that seed will come. That's what he was doing. God puts attention to every detail. God numbers the hair on your head. So he numbers the an amount of acres of land that they will have in Israel, all of them in preparation for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the things he wrote that happened then are types of spiritual things that are already happening. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? That is, if Edom had land, God cut it according so that he would not infringe on the one that he wanted Israel to have. The Edomites are descendants of Esau. Are you getting my point? So when they were coming back, God told them, don't go to the land of the Edomites. Don't go to the land of the people from Mount Seir, because I have not given that one to you. That is, ahead of time, he had ordered the boundaries, according the Bible says, to the number of the sons of Israel. Now, get what I'm trying to say here. Ahead of time, God plotted and planned all these things, how the nation of Israel was going to be. Nothing happened actually by accident. Nothing. You have to understand this. Now, that is, their inheritance was prepared before they ever came to that place. The people that were farming the land, God prepared them that you are the ones that will farm this land until I am ready to give it over to the people I want to give it to. It was the Lord's land. You understand? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It belongs to God. And you had, look, you see, that's one you have to understand. You live on God's, like maybe you're a tenant in a house. If you do what the landlord doesn't like, I mean, he has an agreement. He tell you, look, in this place, I don't want you to do this in my house. You cannot lease this house. You can't sublet this house. He tells you things like that. And if you go ahead and do that, he can nullify the contract and eject you. Do you follow my point? So God will tell the people that if you want to prosper in the land, for example, given a commandment, you shall honor the father and thy mother so that your days will be prolonged in this land. Do you know why? The land is mine. Anybody who does not honor his father and his mother, I kick him out. Are you following my point? Now, the people who were in that land, God looked at them and said, this is my land. And the people did not walk according to God's order. He said, no problem. I knew ahead of time you guys wouldn't. So he ejected them and brought another group of people. What I'm trying to emphasize to you here is this. God plans things ahead of time. I tell Christians this again and again. You have to understand that success and progress and prosperity in life is never a matter of struggles. It's for God to say you are now ready for you to receive that thing that I prepared ahead of time long before you were born. Even before your father met your mother. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? It is not a matter of struggles at all. That is what I am trying to emphasize. That he said when God was dividing the place, he had in mind the number of the sons of Israel. Do you follow what I'm saying? But before they could get that inheritance, certain things had to happen. He had to bring them to a particular place. He had to bring them to a particular point. It was after they had reached that place in development that God now brought them back and settled them in that land. And he now told them something. When I was doing all of these things, when I was moving your father about, before you guys multiply, one thing that I emphasized on was that there was no strange God with him. That is, anytime, and if you know the interesting thing, read the story, the history of the nation of Israel, as recorded in 1 Samuel, down to even Isaiah, all the prophets and all that. You will notice one thing. One thing that you will notice that their problem with that land is always a matter of other gods. You understand what I'm saying? Through and through, it's always a matter of other gods. The reason why they lose their land and they send them into captivity is other gods. The reason why their neighbors will come and afflict them and oppress them is always because they started going towards other gods. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? That is what God is saying. Listen to this very clearly. That is an inheritance I have prepared for every one of my children. There is an inheritance I have prepared. There is a place I want you to be. Before you can get there, I have to take away other gods. I'll explain what I mean by other gods in a moment. From the midst of you, and if you ever go towards other gods, you will lose the place that I have planned for you. Now, just for what I'm going to say, I hope you are getting me so far. Now, so we said something that was last time, and I'm saying it again today, about Jacob. So what God was doing was building up Jacob to a particular point. And I said that what we're emphasizing on in the life of Jacob now is that issue of other gods. Now, when we talk about other gods, remember I said something before, that God, when we talk about God, is not a name per se. You understand what I'm trying to say? It's a description. It's a title. It's like you say doctor. Doctor is not a name. Now, you can call doctor and the doctor will turn and listen to you. But it's not his name. All right? His name is probably Dr. Eze. Now, his name is Eze. His name is not doctor. What is doctor? The title. You understand my point? That is the function he performs in the lives of people. So when you call somebody a doctor, as you were talking about a medical doctor, all right, you say that this guy is able to listen to problems, examine the patient, put the two together, and make a diagnosis of his problems, and then prefer a solution. That's what you have said. And when you say God, what you are saying in effect about God is that who is he that created? Who is he that is able to kill and to make alive? Who is he that can provide? Who is he that can cause somebody to increase? Who is the one that can bring a man's works to judgment? That's the meaning of the word God. Do you follow my point? That is why, like I said earlier, God, for you to now describe him, he describes himself in the lives of people. He describes himself according to covenants that he made with people. That when he says El Shaddai, you instantly remember Abraham. You start remembering things. You know that is the God of Abraham that you are talking about. Are you following the point I'm trying to make? All right. No, I was going to say Jehovah Jireh, actually, not El Shaddai. All right? Anyway, I'm sure you get the point. So when he's talking about other gods, therefore, he's talking about things that people put their minds on. Do you follow my point? That they may be like, somebody wants to make progress. You know, somebody wants to prosper. Instantly, he begins to network with human beings. And somebody that if you don't know this man, nothing for you. That man becomes what the Bible calls a strange god. Do you follow my point? And what God is saying is this. Before I bring my church to the place of their inheritance, I have to ensure that that thing is knocked away from their mentality. Absolutely. Do you get my point? So, you want a job. You start networking. When God is taking you somewhere, you will network. The harder you network, the more you fail. And then one day out of frustration, you stop networking. And then you get it. It's a lesson number one, noted. Strange God of networking, out. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? There is a matter of strange gods we are dealing with. Because you have to understand something. God told the children of Israel once that when Moses was speaking to them, he said, what I am teaching you are the laws by which you will walk when you get into the promised land. What I'm saying is this. I said something earlier that God is the landlord. He has laws by which you dwell in his inheritance. Do you get my point? He's the one that has chosen that inheritance for you. So if you are going to step into his inheritance, you have to walk according to his laws. Unfortunately, like David said, come you children, listen to me and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What he was saying, implying in that statement, is that naturally you don't come to the fear of God. You have to be taught the fear of God. Do you get my point? Now, the laws of God, the principles of God by which you walk in his inheritance are the things that we call the fear of God. Do you get my point? Which if a man departs away from, he loses the inheritance.
Remember what sin is. Sin, the Bible says, is that thing that makes somebody become short of God's glory. It's no longer able to handle the inheritance that God has prepared for him in life. Are you following the point I'm making? It's what I'm saying, making sense to you. So what is God doing? He's training. Remember, we did training to reign, if you remember. I think those who were not here then should get the message. That's a training to reign series, especially the first one, take hold of the kingdom. What God is doing is training you so that you can get to the place where you can receive the inheritance. Look, the Bible says it very clearly. God can, look, what takes men 1,000 years, God can do it in a day. So if he doesn't do it in a day, there's a reason why he's not doing it in a day. And what he was saying, Peter was saying, that he wants everybody to come to repentance first. That is to forsake their former modes of thinking and bring themselves into God's order of thinking. You know, when I was meditating about this, something came to my mind. There was a brother who once, he told me about his dreams for a magazine. You understand? I understand. I don't know whether this is, well, this is just my opinion. So, all right. But what I want to tell you is a fact, all right? He told me about his dreams for a mag long ago. So finally, after a long time, he finally managed to produce the first edition. And then it was then I was thinking about it, I just remembered it. That was just yesterday or so. And I would like to call him and explain this principle to him. He made one big mistake, in my opinion. Now, this is Banky's opinion, all right? Somebody else can hold another opinion. I believe the mistake he made was I took a fine girl that was slightly improperly clad and put her as a cover girl. Listen to me. One of the things you will have to learn in life, if God is going to prosper anything you want to do, is never to use what human beings call popular. You see, worldly standard. You know, I was looking at an advert. I think it was this morning at the airport. Yes, I took some people to the airport. And there was this girl that stood next to maybe a computer or something. They were advertising the computer, I don't know, or anyway, an appliance. And the girl smiled, you know, was smiling. So I looked at the girl, looked at the appliance, tried to get the relationship between them. There was none. This is not an appliance for women. It's just an appliance for life. Do you get my point? What is this girl doing? Nothing. You know the idea? That's the idea in marketing. You see, men respond to sight. Understand? Now, there are subtle ways of persuading you to do things. You see, this girl is fine. You don't know whether it's a girl you want now or the thing that she's standing beside. That's the way they try to help you to, you know, decide to like it. That's why you find they want to advertise tire, ordinary tire. Tire. What thing concern woman concern tire? Tire. Tire. What did they roll for road? Hey, for instance, potter, everything. They now put one very fine chick to sit across the tire. What they are doing is that while you are admiring the woman, you'll be buying the tire. Now, this is the unfortunate part. And this is why if you want to do business, God will strip you that thing away from you before he sends you into his inheritance. You get my point? So when Christians want to start, people will start advising them, this is how to do it. This is what sells. Not the interesting thing? It's a big lie. It's a lie. Bill Gates never used any woman to advertise Windows. You know that? I tell you something, look at music. You see, all the guys who sing sexually explicit lyrics, they don't believe what they are saying. It was never their idea. It's the marketers who tell them this is what you have to sing to make money. Marvin Gaye was broke, busted, I was in my church, and disgusted until he sang Sexual Healing. Are you getting my point? Now, let me tell you something. I was thinking the other day in my class, I told my students, I said, you see, no, stop copying. You know, people always have motives for the things that they do. You may not realize it. And that's why, you know, if I have to talk to young women, I'll tell them, don't fool yourself. The way girls dress on the road is a sign of weakness of soul, weakness of spirit. Don't let them fool you. You know, I told you a story the other time about, what's his name? Melin Carothers, who said he was in the army. And he was supposed to man a machine gun with a guy, another non-commissioned officer, slightly superior to him, maybe a corporal, a sergeant. And he thought the guy was very brave. Because when enemy bombardment is coming, the guy won't shift. He'll sit solidly behind his machine gun. And so he felt that this guy is brave. So me too, I have to be brave. And he stood with the guy. Let's dive into the bunker now. No. Let's dive into the trench. No. We are soldiers. Until one day he was going out with the guy on a field. And this was a minefield. They knew that this was a minefield. So the guy told him that, look, Oga, that Melekarot has told the guy, this is a minefield. Shouldn't we step carefully? That's when he learned the truth. The man said that, I'm tired of life. I don't care. If I'm praying, I step on one of them. So what he interpreted as bravery was a suicide tendency, a suicidal tendency. It was a death wish. The man wanted to die. Now, remember, I told my sister, I said, listen, you see girls who wear clothes that always getting the blouse always getting lower and the skirt getting higher. You understand what I'm trying to say? I said, it's because nobody ever told them they are fine. Nobody ever said you're a good girl. Their father never hugged them and told them they lack confidence in themselves. They are begging for approval. You go and copy somebody who lacks self-esteem. I told you the first day I heard the name Beyonce, you know, Beyonce. I thought it was the name of an underwear. You know, because the girl there was so scantily dressed, I thought the advert was for advertising her underwear. I didn't know it was a musician. You know, I never heard Beyonce before in my life. You know, it was in Jill Online. I went to browse. So I was coming, you see a big poster, Beyonce sold here. I said, why should I come my back partner in a, what do you call it? In a cyber cafe. It was later they told me that, no, the girl is not partner, the girl is a musician. Then why was she dressed like that? I actually, as God lives, I thought she was, you know, modeling underwear. So I said that this special new designer series is being sold in Jill Online. So I was wondering, why are these people marketing underwears? Do you know why the girl's doing like that? They told her that would make her music sell. Come on, if you have self-esteem, there are things you won't just bother about. That's what I'm trying to talk to them. I'm trying to explain. Abraham knew there was an inheritance coming, so all the negotiation with the king of Sodom didn't gel with him. What's the big deal? You want this? Take it. I don't want it. If I don't want it anyway, take. Because I don't want you to ever say that you made Abraham rich. Nobody, I told you that, look, when this man began to make money, Warren Buffett, his principles were odd. People didn't understand what he was doing. Until they saw that, he wasn't using popular principles. But then he began to make money. He just did something before he buy. No matter how much you hype his stock, you know, this stock is the rave of the moment. The stock price is climbing every day. Warren Buffett doesn't look at it. He looks at the company. He goes to investigate whether they have any inherent value. What are they producing that I should pay so much for? So all those days of internet stock, the man refused to pay a dime. $1 of the billions and billions and billions he controlled never went to all those dot-com companies. He said they had no substance. They were just a matter of hype. They were just watching them. Of course, shortly after, everything came crashing down. It's like, I told you people, the chairman Buffett was right. I told you, like you were trying to remind me, the worst thing you can do to yourself as a believer is to be politically correct. Most of the things that are held popularly in belief are wrong. Jesus said, broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many people travel on it. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? I'm talking about removing other gods from the life of Jacob. And that's what God is doing to his church. That is, I am the God of Jacob. Before I bring you to the place of your inheritance, first thing I do is to strip other gods away from you. So the young man in question, I remembered yesterday, I wanted to tell him. It just came to my mind. That next edition that's coming out, remove any girl from the front. What's the big deal? What are you marketing? Is he a modeling magazine? Are you selling clothes? You're supposed to be talking about real substance issues of life. That girl had no, there's no reason why she should be in your mag. You don't need a cover girl. Okay, you need a cover. Why is not a cover bamboo? Why is not a cover monkey? Why is not a cover car? Why must it be a cover girl? You are using a principle of this life, using sexual instincts to sell. No, it's commonly done in life. The sexual instincts in man is being appealed to every time they want to sell something to you. I mean, the more seductive a woman is, the better she is for cover. Why? Because when men go to the newsstand, now this is not a joke, it's actually a fact of life. They instinctively reach for the ones that have the most appetizing girl in front. You get my point? That is, you are, and the Bible says something, he that sows to the flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. That's, look, there's no begging the question. There's no apologizing about it. If you sow to the flesh, from the flesh you will reap corruption. There is no, it's just a standard principle of life. One day somebody approached me about a business, that's professional business. And I said, yeah, I can do this. He said, what would be my cut? I looked at him. I said, I'm sorry, I don't do court business. I said, I use my excellence to do my work. If it appeals to you, fine. If it doesn't, go somewhere else. Do you get my point? And that's what we're talking about, strange gods, other gods. God said, before I bring you to the place of your inheritance, I must cut all these things away from you. Using worldly principles to try and get godly results, it doesn't work. If you started in the spirit, you will be perfected in the spirit. If you want to use flesh, then go that way. But we are talking about what eyes have not seen, what ears have not heard, that has not yet entered into the heart of man, that God wants to do in your life. Therefore, you cannot afford to follow the way of the flesh. Listen, the wise things of God are usually foolish in the eyes of mankind. That is, mankind. They think if you want to do what God says, it will look stupid to them. And listen, until your gospel, your practice, people have said, until people start saying you are crazy, really, you probably have not started. If you are too popular, something is probably wrong. I mean, until unbelievers are afraid to do business with you, you probably are not ready for God's increase yet. Are you getting my point? Until that, I remember one of my friends said that, their company. I said, you guys don't do government contracts. He said, no, we don't. He said, why? He said, too many kicking back in and you know that they don't have the time. So they do only private contracts. So when government jobs are being bidded for, they don't. Now, I'm not saying that you must not do government jobs, but there's a principle there. Such people, by the time they step into government contracts, you will see that they will not have to kick anybody one dime. Because the principle they started with, before Daniel and his brothers entered into Babylon, they said, first of all, we are not going to defile ourselves when we get in here. There's something I've explained from here. It said God is the one that has chosen our inheritance. And you know the interesting part? The inheritance, he occupied it with foreigners ahead of time. That is the one he caught for the children of Israel. He occupied it with other nations while he was getting them ready. That's why I told them that, listen, you are going to live in houses that you did not build. You will harvest from vineyards you did not plant. Is it because it's actually my inheritance? I chose it for you ahead of time. I just kept those guys there as tenants. And many things in life, God has kept, you know, like the Bible says that there is something, an assignment God has given to the wicked to gather so that he might give to the one who's pleasing in God's sight. Do you follow my principle? So ahead of time, God has kept, God has chosen your inheritance, but he has kept people there occupying it until you come. But there's one thing, before you step in, other gods must go. Absolutely. That is trusting in flesh, trusting in mankind. This is what I want to just drum in. Using worldly principle to get godly results cannot work. You know, look, people have told me all kinds of things. Like one day somebody was counseling me about how to sustain our radio program. Now, he meant well. It wasn't, I told you about it. Okay. I just explained that. Look, I listened very carefully. Listen, it meant very well. He meant well, and the principles, they sounded very, very good. Except for one thing. I said, I am not going to try to sustain it. If it cannot be sustained, and look, the practical thing about God sustaining such things, the practical thing is that he normally sends people to give money into it. You understand my point? So it may sound like, if you cut it like this, you do this and do that, you'll be able to, money will just come from it. I said, no. If free will offerings don't come enough to keep it on air, then to go off air. Are you getting my point? You're following my principle? That they were, look, listen, because those other ones are sowing into the flesh. You know, in my alumni fellowship, something happened some time ago. We're thinking about building like a resort center, you know? I mean, look up, you know? So there was something I said, because amongst the ways by which we raise the money and all that, okay, like let guys invest in, like in the business, then a portion of it is dedicated to the fellowship. So the profit from the business, a portion will be going to the fellowship. I said it doesn't work like that. That you can never sustain a fellowship, a church, by proceeds from business. It doesn't work. If you do, you build another fossilized institution. You can call it a church as a name, but it's, the power of God is no longer moving there. I said, do you know why? That every time people give money to things, they are pouring their spirit into it. And that is what actually sustains, not the cash. Do you get what I'm trying to say? It is not the money. It is the spirit they are pouring into it every time they drop their money into the place. Do you get the principle? Now, what I'm trying to bring out something here. I was careful not to try and sustain a spiritual thing by fleshly method. And it will sound good. And look, you see, there was something my pastor said those days when we were in Lagos. He said that you are not righteous enough to learn these things until you have passed through certain experiences. And that's what we were saying last time, that that's what God does. In the period in which he's getting you ready, you will go through experience that keep on teaching you things every time. I told you, I was telling you a story at that time of how I learned that, look, kingdom word, you know, I don't care how Americans do it. That's a dedication I have made to God. I write books, 5 kobo of royalties I don't take. They are kingdom worth property. Do you understand the point I mean? That is the copyright. If you want, if you sell the books and say royalties to the author, drop it in kingdom worth post. I, Banky, I do not want a dime. I have come to understand that. I preach for free. I know Americans, you know, I'm sorry, oh, if you are listening to this and you're an American preacher, maybe you should learn a lesson from here. You are backsliding in this area, so let me correct you. If you watch American TV, now the way they raise money, I'm sorry, let me just say this one, I'll be dogmatic about it. It is far short of God's glory. Most of them. American TV. The other day I was watching TV. They have become professors of arithmetic. I don't want to say mathematics. 7 is a number of completion. So when you have 7 and 7, that's a number of double completion or double fortification. So if you want a double completed breakthrough, send $77. You must be... And on the same station, a few days before, I had been watching somebody saying that 58 is the total number of blessings in the Bible. So if you want the breakthrough of that total number of blessings, send $58. Are you mad? The next, another person came with 77. I said, one, somebody will come with 25 one day. And said, 2 is the number of, what is it now? Oh, God bless you. 2 is the number of the 2 loaves and 5 is the number of the fish. Send $25 and fish and bread will never depart from your house. All kinds of stories. Unfortunately, you know, they begin to teach us things in Bible schools. That you have to make money for ministry. I've said it simply. I've read the scriptures. Go and read the way Jesus Christ's ministry was sustained. There were people who freely of their own accord gave to the ministry. I have told, look, there are times, eh? Let me tell you this honestly. Look, this is how I handle it. As a family, I give monthly, because I'm a salaried worker for now. I give monthly to Kingdom World Ministries. There are times that Kingdom World needs money. You understand my point? And, you know, I know if I was the one that personally needed it. Now, listen to this. Now, this is a bit difficult to explain, but just try. Stay with me, all right? I know I could raise the money. Do you get my point? But I said, God, I'm not running this as my personal business, so I won't try. How much am I willing to give towards this project? This is it. I give my own portion. So God, send people to give the rest. Do you understand my point? Listen, it is not as if I'm saying that I can't completely. I have done it before. First time we paid for this place, I paid almost $500,000 a room personally. It was my offering to the ministry. First time. No, more than that, by the time we finish putting everything together, I virtually gave all the money. But he said, I said, God, I'm not going to continue like that. Not because I'm afraid to give God money. That's not the point. There was a time God said, look, well, that I believe was God speaking. I got some money, you know, plenty of it. I just remember that I think the Lord has need of it. She said, fine. Instead of giving everything to kingdom, why didn't I shared it, gave kingdom his portion, sent another portion to one man of God that has been a blessing to me somewhere else, and took it. No, I just spread the money around. I said, listen, I am not going to run this as it's my personal dream, because it's, for me, it's very critical that God shows his hand all the time. Otherwise, I'm wasting my time. If I can't pay this place, look, I close it. I come to my garage. If you can't come to my garage, don't come to listen to me. No, it's true. I will not, God forbid, I intend to live long. Elihu said, I will not flatter any man, lest my maker takes me away. I will never do it. And I see people go and hire mercenaries preachers to raise money. One day, one man came to town. I just told my friend Mike, let's go and listen whether he has repented. After the first day, we said, this man has not repented. So we left. Now, I'm not going to get a point across here. That you see, you have to renounce. Look, Paul said it like this. He said, we have renounced those things of dishonesty, handling the word of God deceitfully. Listen, if you want God to step into his inheritance, the one that he has chosen for you, first thing you have to do is to renounce all these secret things of dishonesty. Giving half testimonies, because you can't tell the whole story. Believing God for a job, none of your uncles rested. You know that. Say, praise the Lord. Why are you praising? You should say, praise the Lord and my uncles. Listen, there's no iniquity, there's no sin absolutely in it yet. Like I told you at the beginning, when God loves Jacob, he allows Jacob to make his mistakes. And he will face Jacob and train Jacob. The worst thing is when you refuse to take correction. That one is the one that his destruction will come, Bible says, without remedy. He that is often reproved and does not listen. That is why sometimes I don't want to hear about Satan. Because when God is rebuking people, they say it is the devil. Do you know, there are things I tell myself, like, God, I don't want to talk about these things anymore. Because, you know, in life, I have seen people that made mistakes. They were doing things wrongly. And interestingly enough, God is not even deceiving them. What I mean by deceiving them, there are times that you are doing things wrongly and God is allowing you to do it wrongly. That is deception. That is, you are being deceived. God allows you to be confused. But this one, he's doing it wrongly and God is putting obstruction. That you are doing, remember we're talking about the death of Uzzah. Every time you do, God puts in, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. At the end of the day, people call you and say, what you are doing is wrong. And you start fighting them. You know, God's patience is long, but it's not eternally long. He gets the time, you just say, And I say, listen, at the end of the day, of time, you see such people make a shipwreck of everything. Sometimes when I told you before that I've had people, friends, tell me that as if I'm too laid back. And I know the reason why I'm laid back in what I'm doing. I'm not jumping a step ahead of God. No. No, I'm not. I am not going to. Because I've seen people do those kind of things, you know, like try to be forceful about ministry, be aggressive. I see all the frustration that comes with it. Eventually, they go back to where we are and realize that except the Lord builds the house, the labor in vain that builds it. Do you get what I'm going to say? And that's what we're talking about, the God of Jacob. That what he's doing is to remove other gods, strange gods, gods that came recently from the life of Jacob so that he can plant him in his inheritance. Do you follow my point? Therefore, somebody who is walking in the expectation of the manifestation of God's glory in his life, what he's doing every time is learning to get away from other gods. You get my point? Like I told you, God is doing his training. God is doing his training. You know what he's doing. You are not this Holy Spirit in anybody. In fact, this guy called it Oswald Chambers, my good guy. He said, you cannot play amateur providence in anybody's life. What I'm going to say is this. In each person's life, God knows how he's dealing with you. He knows how he's teaching you things. But one thing you must do, which applies to everybody, is that you must always attend to God's word. He said, quicken me according to your word. That's what David said. When my face is buried in the dust, he said, quicken me according to your word. You know one thing I noticed about these dealings of God? I think there must be something about this God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and God of Jacob. Because, you know, something came to my mind. I was looking at the temptations of Jesus Christ. I noticed, now again, this is just my own perception of it. It might not be absolutely accurate. But it appeared to me, if you read from Matthew's account, it's as if that's what the temptations were centered around, those things. Number one, if you are the Son of God, turn this stone to what? Bread. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That is, man shall live by what? Faith. Are you getting my point? That to me was like testing whether he has come to know the God of Abraham. Are you getting my point? The next one, if you read Matthew's account, the next one was that, okay, jump down. Jesus said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. The fear of Isaac. Do you understand my point? You want me to tempt God? Sure, I will. Take your time seriously. The third one, he said, bow and worship me. He said, no other gods. You understand my point? That is my perception of it. Only him will you serve. It is after that the man steps into his inheritance. Because that is him. Look, one thing God, you know, there was one thing I found out. God told the children of Israel once that before these things happen, I will tell you ahead of time. Do you know the only reason why I'm telling you? So because you are very stubborn. If I don't tell you now, when it happens, you say it is my gods that did it. So we are saying that a man, a woman who is walking in the expectation of the glory of God, what he or she is doing at all times, therefore, is cooperating with God to shed away the influences of other gods. I mean, you've heard me teach a lot what was it on radio? We're talking about that, Kingsley, about this or that. We didn't use these words, but we're talking about idols. Yes, thank you. So the same thing we're talking about there. Idol was on our radio broadcast. What was the topic then? Walking in the will of God. Thank you. So we explained that then. Then in those radio broadcasts, I discussed them extensively. That what do you call idols? Other gods. If I don't go to America, I will not prosper. If I don't get a job here, I will not prosper. If I don't know this man, that is a problem. You know, something happened the other day that I preach about this thing so much, but I don't encounter people who say it much anymore. You get my point. So I didn't even realize how real it was. I went to the shop of the person that maintains our generator for us. So it was I came back to pick it up. I was going back home. So the lady that works in the shop, she said, she asked me which direction I was going, whether I could give her a lift. It was getting late and it was a rainy day. So I said, well, it turned out I was not going her direction. She said she was going the opposite direction. And I just remarked that, oh, that's the way I'm coming from. That's where I go to when I'm going to work in the morning. That she lives somewhere near the prisons there. All right? I work in UNTH. She said, you work in UNTH? How come I didn't know before now? I said, what's the problem? He said, they are interviewing people for a job. I didn't apply because I didn't know anybody. He said, if I knew you, she would have come to apply. I said, you didn't apply at all. She said, no, she did not apply at all. Why? She said, because she knew nobody. You've even applied first, men they refuse you now. Now that you didn't apply, even God can't help you at this point in time because you have not even taken the first step. Then they don't know that people really do things like this. Because I know safe now me. I will put my bikini, I'll throw it inside. And every day I'll be walking around the premises and declaring it to the gates. Lift up your head, all you gates, and be lifted up. And the King of Glory shall come in. Who is the King of Glory? No, that's what I would have been doing. You understand my point? I said, oh, so you didn't apply. That these other gods, that this young woman won't take any step in life until all the other gods are cooperating. You know what God is trying to do to his children? To remove that mentality. And let me tell you this, and this is one thing I have learned. I am not one to ever, ever, ever blame any human being for my troubles. I wasn't born like that. I was trained like that. Come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. You get my point? Things happen every time. The other day I was in the traffic, and a bike man wrecked my tire. You know, bike man go in a jam your bumper, jam your door. This one was my tire. You don't get what I'm trying to say? Tire of the motor. I should show it to you. I won't bore you with the story how it happened. And the man came and said, I know what comes to my mind instantly. I said, dear Lord. So, what do you like in this my tire now that you are taking that as a sacrifice? No, that's the kind of thing that comes to my mind first. No, I'm telling you the truth. I don't think about the man instantly. I go on the surface. I was raking. This man, you will spoil my tire. You will pay. Turn out to be a very nice guy. The man was like, hey, this morning, it was around 8:30. I was going to work in the morning. Like, hey. He said, okay, come, let us jack it first. Do you have a spare? Brother, despair. You know, what I wanted to do was to stand and watch him suffer jacking the tire. But of course, I couldn't do that. So, okay, hold that side. Two of us changed the tire because we had blocked, for the traffic was totally blocked before. We now hyper-blocked it further. So then the man answered, okay, what do you want to do now? I said, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? You are going to buy me a new tire. I said, meanwhile, this one is old, so go and buy me a Tokumbo tire. So in my mind, all I was saying is that, nah, relax. Nobody will spoil my tire. Between the Lord and I, we'll settle this matter after. So he said, okay, move, come up for here now. Let's go and stop in front and discuss. I said, yes, we're going to discuss it. I moved the car, went up front, just to check whether the guy will actually come. Actually, the guy was a nice fellow. He actually rode his bike, coming to come and meet me to settle this. So as soon as he approached me, I just told him, go. My own is like, God, you know how much it costs tire to bring tire? Better bring my money now so I can go and buy another tire. This is my tire. It's wrecked now. Who am I telling the story? I am one person that will look, I can't, a human being is the source of my troubles. It's not possible. Who is he? Isn't a human being with breath in his nostrils? He's not the source of my troubles. It's not possible. If you read this portion of the scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 32, where we're reading, if you read further down, God told them that when he has a problem with them, when they kicked, when they went after other gods, he said one of the things you will notice is that, let me see whether I can quickly get there. It's in that Deuteronomy chapter 32. He said, how will one chase 1,000 and two chase 10,000? Verse 29. He said, would that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would discern their future. Notice verse 30. How could one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight unless their rock had sold them and the Lord had given them up? Do you get the point? That is, if God didn't give them up, nobody was strong enough to handle them. So how much more? Only one person is chasing 10,000 of them. 1,000 of them. He said, it is not the enemy that is strong. It is their relationship with God that has become weak. Like you've heard me say before, that the strength of your enemy is dependent upon the weakness of your relationship with God. That's all. No, for me, human, you've heard me say this again and again, come on. You narrowly missed this. I have never felt bad about it. If I try to feel bad, quickly, the Spirit of God checks me. What's wrong with you? Say, my blessing does not go to anybody else's house. It does not happen. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. It does not happen. Why? Because I serve the God of Jacob. And he said, when the Lord was leading him, there was no strange God, no foreign God with him. No human being was making him. No human being was leading him. No human being was helping him prosper. Do you get the point? That only God was there. So if the thing didn't happen, that means God didn't let it happen. That's how I rest my case. Are you following the point I'm trying to make? And that's one thing Christians must understand. This God of Jacob, that is the main problem God has with mankind. I told you in the story of the history of Israel, you will see every time they lost their inheritance was because of other gods. Every time they went into captivity, it was other gods. Every time they were taken, they were oppressed by their neighbors, it was other gods. As long as they focused on the God who could make them, the God who gave them the inheritance, nobody was strong enough for them to take care of them. Nobody. Nobody could overcome them in battle. Nobody could displace them from their land. When armies will gather together, God will say, just go there singing. And they will say, for the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. And the people will just be falling upon themselves, killing themselves and fighting and killing themselves. Why? Because at that point, there was no strange God. Remember the story of Balaam? Balaam said, there is no enchantment that can work here. I hear this prayer point every time. Now we are going to face all the altars that are raised up against you. I said, you have time. No, you have time. People do all night prayer point because of white wizard, witches. You should listen to our next week radio broadcast, this Monday or the following one, which I explained that the witches that are doing incantation against you are inside your heart. It is your evil works and your lack of faith in God. That is a witch that is wrecking your business. People will be praying. Oh, I said, listen, my enemies, that is Banky's enemies, are perpetually frustrated. So God doesn't waste my time with seeing their faces or praying against them. If enemy do me something bad and it didn't work, I have no problem with him. I say, God, what did happen? Where did the angels go? You withdrew them? Okay, what did happen here? If you say, it is because you know, that there's nothing wrong, that Satan is just trying you, then, spiritually, I firm up. I remember one time, that was when I was in Lagos. One house officer then, I was a resident. He looked at me like, this old guy must be, something's wrong with him. I was ill, so I didn't come to work for a few days. Later, he now saw me. So I said, Chief, how are you doing now? I said, I'm fine. He said, so what did you take? He said, it was malaria. I said, I didn't take anything. He said, like, what? I didn't know what I said. I explained to him. I said, no, what happened that time was that I was not really ill. I said it was a weakness of spirit. So I needed to strengthen my spirit again and then I would be fine. Then he looked at me like, what's wrong with this Guru Maharaj? No, I had uttered that statement before I realized that the guy didn't understand what I was saying. And I meant it. Because then, if I tell you the kind of things that were around there, actually, I tried to take medicine. But something went wrong with all the ones I tried to do. I don't know. You know, something would just go wrong. So after that, I threw them away that something, this is not going to work. So I just laid down for days. I just wake up in the morning, just pick my Bible, read, meditate, just throughout the day. Most of the time, I listen to a message, I meditate on the word, pray, just give thanks. I hardly went anywhere. So after a few days, I was now strong, and I went back to work. So that's when I told the guy, and he thought I was one guru. So, he just looked at me and shook his head and left. Now, if you understand, he was a house officer, and I was a resident. So I'm sure if I was his mate, you would have had one or two words for me. But I say I'd be chief now. The guy just looked at me, just shook his head, turned his, and continued what he was doing. You're getting my point. Now, that's my attitude to life. That's my attitude towards everything. There are times, things that there are stories I've told you before that I refuse to put on record. Now, people think that they are ganging up, to deny me of something. I say, me? You don't understand. Me. What is mine? 100,000 people cannot gang up enough to take it. It's not possible. Do you get my point? It is not possible. If they take it, it's not mine. Are you getting my point? If they manage, it's not mine. It's not mine. And get my point. I don't feel anything about what I'm saying. I'm not feeling righteous and holy by saying this statement. You get my point? I don't even feel like I'm pleasing God by making that statement. I'm just saying, telling you what I firmly believe. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I'm dealing with this matter of strange gods. Until children of God understand this principle, that they cannot put their faith in mankind, then they are not ready to step into their inheritance. Do you understand what I'm trying to say here? And like I was saying, what God does is to, through experiences, emphasize this point in people's lives. Remember we're talking about Jacob? I said God was very patient with Jacob. Very, very patient. It took years, but he learned the lesson. There was something Kenneth Hagin said once. I just remembered it now, but I have the tape. He was prophesying, actually. And he was saying that he has taken many years. He said the word was for somebody or a few people there. And God was telling them that it has taken a while, but I have just about gotten you ready. Do you understand the point I'm trying to make? And that is the principle of what we're talking about. That God takes you through the life of Abraham. I didn't say much about that, but we're talking about the matter of faith, the fear of God. We have messages on that matter, the fear of God. But that there is something about the life of Jacob, which God, with true experiences, will win you from. I've seen people that after they spend their whole life chasing an American visa, they came to understand that God is not an American. God could have told them that in a few words. There are times I'm discussing with my wife about something. I say, look, this thing this person is doing, this is not the appropriate way to do it. I say, but I cannot tell him. I cannot tell her. I say, what I'm going to do, I'm just going to relax. It's not my business, really. Apart from pray for the person, there's not much I can do. I say, but experiences. Because if a man loves God, listen to me. If a woman's heart is after God, God is extremely patient. And God is extremely kind to that person. You may not think that God is doing the person good, in quote, but he is. What he's saying is that I won't let your wrong mentality succeed. No. So God will withstand him, withstand that lady, withstand that man for a long time. But one day, you will budge. Because there are different things that make you budge. Either you surrender to God, or you get tired and you fall. You understand? Whichever way, God will conquer you. You understand what I'm trying to say? Whichever way, God will win. But the underlying thing is that there is a heart that is after God. God will never do that with Esau. You get my point? Esau was a godless man. God wouldn't do that with him. So you see, Christians struggle. Let me tell you something. It doesn't mean the man doesn't have faith. I've told you before. Faith is not, the material possessions with you is not at all the reflection of the degree of your faith. Don't let anybody fool you with that. You can pray for a car and not get it. It doesn't mean you don't have faith. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You can, people say, God does not ever say no. I say, which Bible do you read? Because if we settle down here, this particular Bible that I read, I can show you many instances in which he said no. He told Paul no. I'm talking about serious prayer people, not Jekwede, people who are just starting. He told Moses no. Do you understand my point? People like to quote all the ones in which he said yes. You want us to sit down and see the ones in which he said no? And another thing you have to understand, because one of the things about people is that they don't read stories globally. And one of the things you have to understand is that the dealings of God with human beings are often very, very personal. Now, I was listening to Kenneth Hagin today. I was How to Write Your Own Ticket with God. And it got me meditating again, because we learned faith from Kenneth Hagin a lot when we were in school, and we practiced a lot of those principles. And good enough, Lester Sumner, I have his book. Let me have that book, please. If you can lay your hands on it, it will help you to read this book, Courage to Conquer. It's actually a transcript of a message that he preached, Courage to Conquer. Very powerful book. There's no deep exegesis inside, though. The breaking down of scriptures and permutating and combining scriptures. No, there's nothing like that. He said, it's passing the sword to the last generation, Courage to Conquer. The man said some things in this book. He said, he just flipped open to that area as I was looking. He said, God does not take orders. He said, sure, he was honored when I fasted and prayed for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, but he did not like my attitude. I had tried to end the Holy Spirit. And another thing, which is one that I tell preachers, if you are believing what is wrong in your life, God will frustrate it so that you will not go and be preaching it. Because he said, well, God did not want me preaching such heresy. So he taught me this lesson in a dramatic way. Listen to that. He said, he let me go down the biblical checklist, do everything right, then demand my blessing. Does that sound like the gospel of faith a lot of us practice? He said, and he did nothing. He was not going to let a smart aleck teenager who thought he had all the answers go uncorrected. Are you getting what I'm going to say here? He said, he waited until he had my attention. He had humiliated me in front of scores of churches by giving old men, pretty girls, farm wives, car mechanics, and would-be assassins the gift of the Holy Spirit. All I got was nothing but divine silence. He was the one laying on the hands for information. He said, so now he had my attention. The Lord told me simply, since you did not receive the Holy Spirit your way, now I'm going to give you the Spirit to you as a free gift. Said, suddenly the glory of the Lord came into that room, and I had never felt it before. He said, the Spirit of the Lord seemed to flow from the corner of the room until it touched the foot of my bed, my feet, and came up through me. As it did, I began to speak in a heavenly language I had never learned. He said, God had filled me by his grace and had demonstrated to me that I should never, never preach that his blessings can be conjured up through our efforts. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? That some of those things that we preach and we call faith is nothing but arrogance and lack of knowledge. Whatever it is that you practice, God will look at the end of the day, he will win. But like I said, there's a baseline found in the life of Jacob. The young man had the passion for God. He loved God with all his heart. And that's one thing you can never... Once a man has that, once a woman has that, there's no failing. It only takes time. God will, like this man, he will teach principles. He will apply it, nothing will happen. They will lay hands, like he said, on old men, they will get it. On fine girls, they will get it. On housewives, they will get it. Car mechanics, we heard him through the checklist. Out of frustration, he said, God. I don't know why people don't quickly learn. You know why one of the reasons they don't quickly learn? They say it is Satan. It is the adversary. He's the one standing in front of them. God said, all right. We'll stay here. We'll go away too. We are not in a hurry. But you must learn this lesson. Look, my time is far gone. Let me just summarize the main point. The issue is that other gods will live your life. There is something you must do. Like I told you, it's a constant quest. Remember our message, first one for the year or the second one for the year? A personal quest for God. If you have that, you have the first thing held fast. You have no problem. But after that, God will take you, if necessary, through experiences. But you must learn. But what are we going to learn? Is that only God can take you to your inheritance. You don't need anything more than God. God will arrange events. Unfortunately, like I said, I was saying something earlier about God, people saying that God never says no, and they tell stories about people's lives that I said God can say no. Kenneth Hagin will tell, I was going to tell a story about Kenneth Hagin. I was listening to Kenneth Hagin's message today, How to Write Your Own Ticket with God. That, people don't understand some things. Kenneth Hagin will tell you that he never asked anything from God that he never got. All right? So people say, yes, anything I ask, I should get. But one question you never asked yourself was, why the man never asked God for more than $150 a week? Are you catching the point? He had a run-down car. He didn't even think about asking for another one. Is there anything? I just claimed it and I received it. But all he used to receive was $200 a week. Because he would sit down, calculate some things. Now, I'm trying to bring out a point here. He worked with God to a particular level. And based on his understanding and relationship with God, God gave him certain manifestations. They may want to copy that manifestation. They want to now name a Jeep and claim it. The little boy is a year 3 student, UNEC. He wants to name a Hummer and claim it. So he names the Hummer and God says, no problem. The Hummer is yours. I'll give it to you in 25 years' time if you still invoke there. He said, God never says no. Yes, maybe he never says no. Some things he gives to you after you have died, he never says no. Are you getting my point? What I'm just explaining is this. That have a personal walk with God. You get my point? He trains you by himself. He knows the experiences that you will go through. But one thing I say is that you must quickly learn your lessons. Know when something is not working. Know when God is saying, remember what I said? There is nothing wrong. You know, you are privileged to hear these things when you are young. Look, a 20-something-year-old man, a young man who doesn't have money to eat. It is a good time to be hungry. Look, it's perfect too. It's perfect. When you're young and you're broke, she woke up in the morning and said, Lord, I thank you for this broken state. It's an honorable brokerage. You know what I'm trying to say? It's a 50-year-old man that shouldn't be broke. What's wrong with the 20? You see a little mechanic in the shop. He said, because like the guy who stole my compressor, they got things are hard. You should know that it's because things are hard that you have the privilege of laying a good foundation for the future. You should have left my compressor without stealing it. Then God will have said, despite the fact that things were hard, he didn't steal a compressor. Then you're a good guy. But once you justify wrong behavior by surrounding circumstances, you have lost the credit you'll have gotten from it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You are getting my point? Look, God will take his time. He will teach each person. In the time of adversity, I keep on saying that's when God chooses people. In the fullness of affliction, he said, I have chosen thee. God will take you through experiences, but you will learn. God will always win. He will always win. Eventually, you will know that this one does not work. You know, you know, people say they hear God. Sometimes God will allow them to hear him very clearly, and they show that he didn't say anything. Kingsley, I'm sure you have heard God before. The Lord said, Slayo, Slayo, that is thy wife. And the guy married somebody else. Why you are looking at this? You are looking. You even attend the wedding. Then you know that voice was not the voice of God at all. You quickly learn. You quickly learn. And when you hear voices 3 times, before you start hearing more, you quickly say, no more voices. This one, just give me a Bible. I will read it. I'm okay. How many is a young woman? Say, God said this man is going to marry me. Okay. You are there. Nothing wrong with that. I told you, Jacob, you can make mistakes. There's no problem. Ah, but the man has married. Now you are still believing God. You should know God didn't say anything. And say, I thought I heard, Lord, I'm sorry. God said, fine, now at least you know I don't talk all the time. Say, yes, now I know. You just carry your Bible and read. And all other things shall be added unto you. Jacob's can make mistakes. You understand my point? God will correct Jacob's. But eventually, Jacob will definitely enter that inheritance. I hope you've learned something today. Have you learned anything from what I've said so far? Yes, like my pastor in Lagos will say, I really don't know whether I made any sense, but anyway, let's go home. What is it? Ken Hagin will say, I don't know whether I helped you or not, but I sure I'll preach myself happy. All right, let us pray.